Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now, covering the week's biggest topics in wrestling, pop culture, sports, and more, this is NAI Live with Jason Maltoff, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
So, I would like to say, ooh, I'm echoey.
That was still up from last week.
It's great shit. You're going to love to say pooper scooper.
Pooper scooper.
Everybody's stupid.
So, I think we hit a really big milestone today, fellas. And I wanted to share it with the people. We got our first, like, official corporate CEO phishing scam.
Oh, yeah!
today, that's
I was like, the 2-year anniversary, the 5-year anniversary is in 2 weeks. I don't know what you're talking
about.
Is
that right?
Yeah, yes. 260.
Caramba!
Yeah. So, for those of you who have no idea what that is, basically companies, not companies, individuals try and scam companies out of money by sending, like, suspicious emails from like accountants or something like businessy related that is connected with the business in order to have a CEO, a CFO, a COO, somebody of that type of ilk.
LFO.
LFO.
LMFAO.
LMFAO.
Abercrombie and Fitch.
The light funky ones.
Yeah. And so that is to get them to release funds to this person who is not who they say they are. So today I get an email, ding, notification from the New Age Insiders email account.
Ding.
Look at it, and it says that we got billed for something. And it was $30 for 365 days. And I look at it, and I go, what the hell is this? And then I click on it. And it is the softest core porn.
Yeah.
Like it was
like warm marshmallows.
Yeah. Like... It was, what was it, like, June?
Zishy, which sounds like a terrible place to, like, buy a dishwasher.
Yeah, right.
The app for dishwashers, Zishy.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. This little Zishy went to market.
It did. And it was all, like, it was, like, a girl that was, like, making cereal, but, like, her boob was out. Like, wow. But just one.
Was that actually what it is?
Yeah.
Did you go to the site?
Yeah, I went to the site, because I'm like, what the
because the thing is, like, that's like when you sent a group text to the both of us and you go, what is Zishy? And I go, like, all right, I'm game. I don't know. You know what I mean? Is that the new Pixar movie coming out or some sort of thing that I'm not aware of? Is that right. Some sort of thing that kids are doing where they're sticking soap up their butt to get high or something crazy and they're zishing?
Yeah.
I don't know because I don't understand the youth.
Right, absolutely.
But then I go, all right, I'll Google Zish. And I also thought, okay, there's also maybe a chance that you're always thinking of new ideas and like maybe this is some app we should be on where it's like we're on Glork Normal. Why wouldn't we be on Zishy?
Right. And, well, here's the thing. Maybe after seeing what it is, maybe we do need a little sex appeal.
Yeah, sure. It can't hurt. And then do you see McDonald's is starting to leave comments on Pornhub because that's 2019? Real thing. I'll show you later.
Okay. Yeah, we'll take a look at that later. That should have been one of the topics.
But then,
Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders.com.
So then I quickly Google Zishy and it's just like vivid photography of girls in realistic scenarios.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's just like a girl that's just like, oh, I made a pie, but whoops, is that my ass coming out of the apron? And it's
just like, yes, yep. Thank you.
And then she said that. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you're right. It's the softest possible porn where it's just like, oh, I'm washing my car and then with one of my nipples
for a
detailer.
Yeah. I was like, what?
I went hiking and, oh, my butt.
Yeah, right. That was exactly it.
Yeah, you know, that guy.
I went hiking and my butt.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. I can't believe that I have to bend over to get this cable remote.
Yeah. Like, what? Oh, yeah.
There's a peek at my butthole.
Oh, I'm going to clean off
Bill, this. Bill, it was the it wasn't even
no, it
that
wasn't even
dirty.
Close to that.
Oh, it wasn't?
Yeah, no. You didn't. Yeah, no.
I didn't go to the thing.
You'd see her butt, but only like a cheek.
Yeah, right.
Aww.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna clean off this model train with a toothbrush. Here's half my vag.
Yeah.
Only half.
Yeah.
And not the inside.
Yeah, it's just obscured.
Just half of the inside. Here's the left.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
That's my half left. The inside.
Not the inside.
No, just half.
Just
of the
half.
Left.
Oh.
Half. You get the
left lip.
You get the left. Looks like a noise.
But yeah, so crisis averted, everybody. The New Age Insider's fortunes are safe.
Yeah, yeah, thank
so
God.
So we got zished.
We got zishied.
That's it. That's the whole thing.
That was fantastic.
So there's
good night, everybody.
Yeah, so there's plenty on the menu. Oh, we really have 5 years in 2 weeks, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carumba. We should get a cake.
Ooh.
All right.
We should do a cake.
Yes, yeah, so, and that's how you know we've really made it and things are looking great.
What's
because the company has been like, oh, these guys would probably fall for a scam.
Yeah, that's exactly.
So there's a ton going on. We have a list, as you could see the list, if you're watching live on Wednesday nights on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiderTV.
So it's the Wood anniversary.
Is 5 years?
5 years is the Wood anniversary, apparently. Right.
So I have to give you a terribly made movie? That's a film joke from Ed Wood, the director. I'm a nerd.
Are we getting raises or watches or anything?
Yeah, 100% raise.
Cool.
For all of us.
For all of us.
All three of us.
Yes, we Beautiful. Did it.
Because we don't take home anything.
Nope.
Because people are like, I can't believe this is your job. I'm like, I can't believe that's what you think my job is.
Yeah, I know.
Can't believe you
sign
think.
Up for Patreon.com.
Right, I can't believe you think I get to do this for a living. And do you have any idea how much more content we would make you?
Yeah,
I would have gone to Aladdin and come home and just like talk to the internet about it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But I can't because I'm tired.
Right.
But yeah, patreon.com/newageinsiders. Plans start at $5 and the support goes a whole long, super duper long way. And we want to give you more and do more and be better and grow and all that fun stuff. And it starts with you. It really does because, yeah, we're old and we're tired and we want to keep going and we need you. And we just want we really just kind of want to show like, hey, we're with you guys. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. Twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiders TV because you can subscribe. What I'm also going to start doing now is hope they start paying us. And I'm going to go the Jericho route. And I'm just going to start talking about Omaha Steaks. At any given time, at any given time during the broadcast, I'm going to be like, Liam, that was a great point. Speaking of great points,
yeah,
I have sharpened my forks for the barbecue weekend we got coming up with Omaha Steaks. Boy, are they juicy.
Yeah, they're prepackaged.
Give me bloody
yep.
steaks.
But you don't have to have them bloody if you don't want to, but a medium rare is recommended. Omaha Steaks. So let's just jump into what really is, again, the biggest topic in wrestling right now. And the biggest guy people are talking about the most in wrestling right now, who is definitely somebody that, like, look, we said it before when we talked about this on last week's show or 2 weeks ago and whenever we were talking about, you know, Dean Ambrose / Jon Moxley is, I mean this with no snide when I say we are about to find out just how good this guy is.
Yep.
That is not intended to be a backhanded compliment, shifty-eyed, we'll see. Ugh. That is as open-ended as it gets with genuine sincerity. Okay. I've been told, like, I haven't seen it yet, but I guess he had some interview recently, like, a couple days ago.
Yeah, I haven't listened to that
where
one.
He's just like, Brock's an asshole, that kind yep. of that yeah. thing, right? And it's like, okay, so I'm going to just basically put this whole thing into the same bundle when it comes to the Dean Ambrose, right? Because the great thing about this is he actually has a new name, his old name, whatever. But I can put this whole thing in a box and call it Dean Ambrose, start to finish. He wasn't Dean Ambrose before WWE, and he's not Dean Ambrose after WWE. So I have this little self-contained unit about who that character is. And my trepidation and my reservations about Dean Ambrose
right.
seemingly were all blamed or cycle back somehow to WWE.
Yes.
Vince McMahon is dumb. Brock Lesnar's an asshole. Everything's stupid. That's fine. And I'm not even telling you any of those things are invalid because it seems like everybody has the same complaint about Vince McMahon. So I'm sure it's correct.
Right.
It sounds correct. I bet you that Brock Lesnar goes, I'm not going to go out there and hurt myself when I have a fight in 2 months. I believe these things. I am really not being facetious when I say, okay, Dean Ambrose was unbelievably flawed. And now it's all WWE's fault. Like, I'll play along here, right? I'll play the game. I'll be his number one, you know, vote of confidence here. I'll be your crying shoulder. I'll be the greatest fan of your life, right? So, like, I'll give Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley, the complete benefit of the doubt. Dean Ambrose sucked because WWE made it so. Okie dokie.
Yep.
So far, this guy has done a great job of making people talk about him.
Yep.
I've seen highlights of the match with Juice. It was very good.
Yep.
He's got a new look. He's got a new attitude. I definitely get the vibe that this is the dude he's wanted to be for the past 7 years. And so at the very least, as we jump off and talk about him winning the U.S. title and the match itself and where he's going and all that stuff, so far, Jon Moxley has made a splash that not just anybody could have made at that AEW show. He had a good match and won a championship, got people talking, so now he's a big deal in AEW, and he's a title holder in New Japan. And so there's just a lot going on, and I give him credit because so far, so good. And I got my eyes open, too, because I don't happen to think that 100% of this guy's problems were just because of WWE. I'll give you more than 80, probably 90. But I also think that rebound clotheslines look stupid. But big picture, great start. He's been out of this company for like a month, and everybody's already talking about him.
Yep.
So what do you think about him winning that belt? What do you think about the match? What about Juice Robinson cutting his hair? Just go to everything going on.
So when it specifically comes to Jon Moxley, it feels like it's a different guy. It does feel like this guy is the character that he was before WWE, but with all of that experience that came with WWE, right? He is a much more polished performer because, you know, look, I'm not going to tell you that I was a huge Jon Moxley fan prior to getting signed from WWE. I knew who he was, and he was the CZW guy. He was the deathmatch guy, right? And so now you took that kind of frenetic energy that he did have that made him worth being brought into the WWE system, right? And they took that, harnessed it, and polished it. And so, yeah, I think that now he's kind of firing on all cylinders because he knows how to be a star. He's a former WWE champion, right? And so that guy knows how to be a star. And yeah, he's doing a great job at capitalizing on the moment by doing the best he can with it.
Yeah. And the big thing for me is like, piggybacking off that point, right? So if you look, like, yeah, he went from wrestling in jeans to wrestling in like bike style trunks. But the big thing is like, if you look at him in his entrance, right, he's still got the leather jacket.
Yeah.
He's still got the same haircut.
Yep.
Him walking up to Juice and just giving him the bird, and like, it really does feel like this, like, Dean Ambrose to, you know, like, it's interesting. As we make kind of like a bigger existential point, and don't let me get away from this. If you're enjoying what we're talking about and want to hear our opinions on Sasha Banks, who is kind of MIA right now, that's the Patreon show. So we go live right after we're on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. And you can also just get these things on demand through patreon.com. It's an awesome service. And this week we're going to talk about Sasha Banks, where we think she's going to come back, if she's going to come back, what her absence means, just everything and anything, our complete thoughts on Sasha Banks and where she is right now in the world, not only just of wrestling. That's on patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. You can listen to it right now if you don't get to listen live, or if it's Wednesday, join us. We'll send you a link and you can listen. twitch.tv/NewAgeInsiders. Get you that link too. So I want to bring up with a bigger point, which is, so in the 90s, right? Because we're talking about brand wars, right?
Right.
And for, they're not on the same scale, right? Because AEW, I don't think will ever cook Vince's pot quite like WCW did in like 1998. Right?
Okay.
Where they were like, uh-oh. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't ever think AEW will make Vince McMahon go, uh-oh. I really don't. Right?
Right.
Now, they will be a major thorn in his side with things like, now talent is like little things I'm noticing. Like, flipping Connor from The Ascension, his Twitter is now his shoot name.
Right.
And it's just like, more and more people are kind of like Naomi, right? So, Sasha Banks posted a GIF of her and Naomi like looking at a phone. And Naomi went out of her way to be like, if you jump, I'll jump with you. We're in this together.
Right.
A contracted employee goes, oh, if you go over there, I'll join you.
Right.
Like, they're like,
the way that WWE is in trouble this time, as opposed to where they were with WCW, was WCW was the far better show, right? So you had everybody that was watching WWF started watching WCW because it was a better show. It hit the audience at the time better than the WWF product, right? This time, it's going to be all of the stars in their prime are going to jump ship because WCW had the problem of everybody was too old. It was Bret Hart at the end. Kevin Nash at the, well, he was kind of a prime guy, but, you know, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Hulk Hogan.
Savage Macho, was at the end.
Savage, the Ultimate Warrior, you know, the Million Dollar Man. Like,
yeah,
they were all people you had heard of, so they, you
the
paid
only
attention.
Guy they didn't, the only guy they didn't really dust off because he died too soon was Andre.
Right.
And they would have.
They would have, well, because they had Big Show playing his kid.
Right. And so I just want, like, because big picture, it's just an interesting thing beyond John Moxley. This, I think it's a point worth making here, is that in the 90s, right, when you last time you had anything that was this hot, because sorry, Ring of Honor, you've never got this kind of buzz ever. Sorry, no. You just haven't. Sorry.
No.
And but the big point is that I would tell you that you're right. In the early 90s, Nitro was the better show.
Right.
Right, but by the mid to late 90s, a lot of people looked around and went like, it was almost like the Power Rangers effect.
Right.
Where wrestlers were looking around and being like, Nitro's really not better. Why are more people watching this? And the answer really was because, like, well, they got Hogan and all the names. You know right. what I mean? And so we got to start over and build our own. And once they did, Austin and The Rock became, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was because, much more must-see.
Exactly. And all that stuff. But I just want to throw this out at you. That WCW at the end was the was definitely the worst creative, like it was a right. it was a jungle. The monkeys ran the circus, right? But there was all that's what all the money was.
Right.
And so if you were a guy like Bret Hart, you were like, look, I don't want to go to WCW.
No.
But they're offering me this contract, and Vince is like, I can't match it. I can't. And so it was like, all right, I'm gonna go there for the money, but I'm gonna hate it. And now it is the complete and total opposite, where it's like, look, WWE is the money,
right?
But the far less creative environment. And so you're like, instead of going from the dream job as a little, you know, little kid, I want to be in the WWE, but I guess I'll go to WCW.
Right.
Bad show, good money. Now you're like, I'm on the bad show, good money, and I want to go someplace
else.
Well,
and I also think that this generation of performers are less circusy than the generations prior.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
You know, you look at all of the older wrestlers that we've ever met and know, and their entire thing is, how do I get mine? It's me, my.
Absolutely, and, yeah.
And you have people that are, quote-unquote, older and out of touch, claiming that this generation actually all likes each other, and the fact that they all like each other and are helping each other get on shows, and it's not doing well for the business.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, no, they're better performers, and these matches are better because they know each other and they work with each other all the time and they don't hate each other.
Right.
Right. And so I think that that's kind of where we're at, where it's like, yeah, the AEW is going to get all of these prime performers because it's like, yeah, I wrestled the Young Bucks for years, and I like those guys, so of course I want to go there. You know, the guy that's kind of the big
even
one.
Even Ambrose, though. Like, Ambrose has seemingly no emotional attachment to anybody on that AEW roster.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like, get me out of here.
Right.
And that's like Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks, who we'll talk about on the Patreon show, patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders to sign up. Sasha Banks isn't like pouting because like it's like, oh, I really wish I was working with Sunny. What's that? The happy
Sunny Kiss?
No, yeah. Happy Lisa.
Britt Baker. Let's just go with Britt Baker.
Yeah, the happy lady.
Kylie Rae.
Yeah. It's not that. It's because she's just like, get me out of here.
Right.
And so it's just an interesting note in general because, you know, and then we'll go back to Moxley, but it's just like how the tides have turned from like, I'll reluctantly go to the place with the money to, I'll reluctantly, you know what I mean? Like, it's just WWE is now the place you reluctantly go for the money. Like, if you're somebody like Flip's a great example because he said this publicly, so it's okay to talk about it. Like, Flip's like, nah, I don't really want to go there. They're going to change my name and make me do something stupid, and I'll be a cruiserweight. And it's like, look, if they blow me away.
They got rid of this cruiserweight show.
Right. If they blow me away with an offer in my 30s, I'll go, but I really want to have some fun, and the money out there is so competitive. And it's just like, yeah. Now WWE is like the, ugh, I guess I'll go there. To a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's crazy how, like, that is, the tide is, it's amazing. AEW has been a company for, like, technically a month.
Yeah.
And there's, WWE is now already the, like, do I sell out for the money company? It's like, don't you want to be the WWF champion? No, that doesn't mean anything anymore? Holy crap.
We don't even have an AEW one yet.
Yeah, I know, right? Exactly. Like, yikes. Pretty belt, though.
Very pretty belt. But yeah.
Just what do you think of just John Moxley in general, just as we move on? But, like, what do you think of...
He's doing great. Having him be the guy, and you brought this up off-air right before we got on, so credit to you, but the... This is like when Austin Aries was just fresh out at WWE and was just winning everything. And it was just like, we got to get Austin Aries on this show because, like, holy crap, man. Like, right. This is going to be the big whoa moment. Well, Jon Moxley is 10 times bigger. And, yeah, it's of course you showed up at AEW Double or Nothing. Of course you won the United States Championship.
Do you think it's too much too soon?
Nope, I don't.
Okay.
It just shows you also how well AEW is going to be playing with everybody. Right, because he's going to wrestle at NEW here in New England in a couple weeks. He's on television with AEW, and then he's now the United States champion. Now, I don't know how long that's going to last, but it's at least a big whoa splash moment when New Japan, frankly, needs it. Both of them need it, right?
Yeah, right.
Both Jon Moxley and New Japan Pro Wrestling both needed a big whoa moment, because as much as we would all like to think that on Saturday or Sunday or whenever in 2 o'clock in the morning, that Chris Jericho was going to beat Kazuchika Okada for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, it's not going to happen, right? We all know that's not going to happen. So having Jon Moxley win the United States Championship
gets everybody talking. Just really quick, my last question on the topic. Now Jon Moxley, as I said earlier, is a big deal in AEW and a title holder in New Japan. Will AEW, so just a point blank question, if you noticed, when Kenny Omega was the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, he did not wear the belt into All In.
Right.
And if I understood correctly, they basically didn't let him take the belt to the United States or have it be on shows that weren't their shows.
Right.
But like, it's at least one pinpoint example I can give you where he didn't wear the belt. And you'd think that they would want him to, like, you know, because like the Lucha Brothers wore theirs and stuff like that.
Right.
If I remember something, stuff like that.
Right.
Do you think there will be an acknowledgement of AEW in New Japan and an acknowledgement of New Japan in AEW?
So I think that AEW needed to get off the ground first, but, you know, New Japan, I think, is smart enough to know that tying their wagon to Ring of Honor is tying it to a dying horse.
Yep. That's the biggest thing. Is like everybody's like, whoa, look out WWE. No, it's not look out WWE. Ring of Honor won't be a company in 5 years.
Right.
They just won't. Because you're also going to lose Marty Scurll.
Lost him.
Right.
He's already gone.
And
the only reason he's not in AEW or didn't show up at Double or Nothing is because he's on the Best of the Super Juniors right now. And that timing just doesn't work out.
Exactly.
It didn't work out.
And you're, I promise, going to lose Flip.
Yep.
And then you're left with, God bless you, man, then you're left with Matt Taven.
Right.
And it's like,
and
you
the
are
bouncers.
You are, yeah, and like just like I love Vinny Marsalia and TK O'Ryan and Taven's
and
you know,
PCO.
And Taven's a talent and all that stuff, but it's just like, you're just an indie now.
Yeah.
You're just a company now. You're Evolve.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Beyond.
You got a couple guys that are worth checking out.
Right, exactly.
You're gonna put on some fun shows.
Right. I'm not telling you you're a bad company.
No, you're gonna put on fun shows.
But like Matt Taven's your champion, guys.
Yeah.
And they're all gone. The Bullet Club are all gone. They're all gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, so WWE is going to be here in 10 years. Ring of Honor won't.
Yeah.
I believe that. Because now's the kind of time where WWE goes, can I buy you for pennies on the dollar? Because you see the writing on the wall, right?
Right. Well,
and I just want your tapes.
I just want your tapes. I want to be able to, because AJ Styles is my guy.
Yep. Joe. I want Joe. Rollins.
Rollins. The Steam.
Brian.
Cesaro.
Adam Cole.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Sure, Adam Cole.
You know?
Right. Even O'Reilly.
O'Reilly.
I just want it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'll take the Briscoes at the end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I like to ruin tag teams.
Yes, right.
It's a thing I do. Something that wasn't ruined at all is WWE, not WWE, is Disney's newest attraction.
Holy moly.
We already saw a photo from Cody Rhodes there, so he already showed what the Millennium Falcon looks like, and it's good.
Yeah.
Galaxy's Edge is open. Are you excited for Disney's newest, coolest thing?
Yeah, so it's specifically the one in Disneyland. The one in Disney World will be opening at the end of the summer. Is it the 31st of August?
31st of August, yeah.
Yeah, the 31st of August. So there is no Battle Escape at the Disneyland version, or at least it hasn't been open yet.
Is the Millennium Falcon a ride in Disney World?
The Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run.
There is a ride, but the physical Millennium Falcon that you see is just a prop.
Yeah. You walk like behind it.
It's too bad.
Yeah. Well, you get into like the waiting area, the queue area is the area with like the chessboard.
Oh, neat.
And so like you do that and then you get into the actual thing.
Neat.
Everything I heard has been great. I follow a bunch of Disney stuff. One of them that I followed and I watched today was Disney Food Blog, which go and check them out. They're on YouTube. They're great. and they basically broke down everything. One of the coolest tidbits that I heard was the cast members are so in character that if you ask them certain things, they won't know what you're talking about. So, like, there's a store to build your lightsaber, to, like, build a custom lightsaber and whatever. And so if you ask them where can I go to buy the lightsaber, they're going to pretend like they have no idea what you're talking about because lightsabers are contraband, so you're not supposed to do it. So you're supposed to ask where you can buy scrap metal instead.
Wow.
So that they then tell you where that place is.
Wow.
I don't know if this is just because it is so popular, but at least the Disneyland version, they're giving people 4-hour blocks.
Yeah, it's because it's the grand opening. They expected like record crowds. So anyone who's staying at a Disneyland hotel or was able to get a reservation, sign up for it online, you get a 4-hour reservation up until I think it's July 2nd or something like
that. Okay. Well, that's great because that allows you to actually get in there and not be swamped with everything.
Right. The thing about this that excites me most is because I'm not a huge Star Wars guy. Like, I like them. I've seen them. I have nothing against them. I don't knock people for any fandom, and I certainly not for that one because I enjoy the movies just fine. It's just not like my thing. But the point is, what excites me the most is not just the Star Wars-y stuff specifically. It's the next... You want to talk about how Marvel's entering Phase 4?
Right.
This is Disney's true, actual welcome to the next generation of Disney World.
Yep.
An interactive experience hotel where you check into that hotel and you have a plot line.
Yeah.
You are a part of a story. You are here for a week and we have a story for you. Your room looks like you're in space. We have a restaurant that all the windows are just LEDs, so you look like you're in the fucking middle of nowhere, man.
Yeah, right.
And like in space watching spaceships. And it's like, I've said this to you off the air a zillion times, especially when we went. They'll never admit it, but if they could, they'd knock this thing to the ground and start over.
Yeah.
Because the infrastructure's from the 70s.
Yeah.
And so, like, everything needs basically to change. Like, everything's outdated.
Well,
everything is either unbelievably modern or really outdated. And so this is a great example of the stuff that is just like, if they could start this whole project over again with now technology and Disney's 20 years in the future anyway, then, this is just my main point really here is that this hotel experience, this restaurant experience, this immersive, I'm on Tatooine. Yeah. This is all Disney can be.
Oh, it's amazing. And it's good. We're going to see it with the Marvel stuff when that comes, because they're knocking down a bunch of Disneyland to repurpose to Marvel. And the coolest part about this, when you look at the Galaxy's Edge stuff, is like Chewbacca's just wandering around.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's cool. Everybody's a character, and there's so many things to do, all the way down to the app where you can join the Resistance or you can join the First Order, and there's different puzzles and stuff just on the side of a building.
Yeah.
And like, you can just win prizes.
It just seems like. It seems like they get it. And again, I really do believe this, especially this particular park. It's like, can we just knock MGM down and do it all over again? I have so many ideas.
That's kind of what they've been doing.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they'll admit it, but they would gladly even knock down Tower of Terror.
Because that
plot of land is so valuable.
Right.
Because you're seeing now, they still have land. They have more land than anybody, and they still have more to use. But I do think you're starting to see now where they're like, okay, it's almost like Universal. We're like, Harry Potter Land is way too small because they don't have any space.
Right.
And so Disney is like starting to get, you could see with like Galaxy's Edge, like we were there under construction. It's like, oh, this thing's just like where like the other stuff is. And all of a sudden you look to your left and it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
And so you could just tell they want to pave that thing to the ground. But I'm excited for it. I'm very excited for like the idea that, because I would love it if like I could check into a hotel and been like, okay, you're going to try to catch Aladdin. And if you do, we'll give you something. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know. You know what I mean? But just the idea that you walk in and like, okay, you're a stormtrooper, and for the next five days, it's like, you know what I mean?
You're a stormtrooper. Congratulations.
This is so much fun. I'm excited for it.
Absolutely. One person that was a part of the opening ceremony, because he did the Solo movie, was Ron Howard. And Ron Howard is blaming internet trolls for the downfall and poor negative reviews of the Solo movie.
Okay, so here's, I love this topic. Why? Yes. Because I can spin this right back to wrestling in this way. So I'm probably going to piss a lot of friends off, and I have a wrestling show to go to in a week, and I'll probably get beat up, but here it is anyway. Wrestling people, wrestlers, yeah. right, with all the love in my heart, you're some of the most sensitive people I have ever encountered.
Yes.
Some of you are just drama kids that went to the gym.
Yeah, yes.
I'm serious.
Yes.
You're just emotional. You're in a big production, because that's what wrestling is.
Yep.
And you're...
You're mad you're not the star.
You think that you're a bigger deal than you are, or you are, you know, just everybody... Everything is everybody else's fault, or, you know what I mean? If you just... But the biggest thing is, you are incapable. The average wrestler, and I know lots of them, yeah. we all do, you are incapable of taking criticism. The average wrestler.
Yes.
Right? I'm not going to paint it with too broad a brush, but the average wrestler can't handle it, right? But they want it both ways. It drives me crazy, because the average wrestler wants you to go buy 5 of their shirts and wait in a line for an hour and a half at T-Mobile, and you know what I mean?
Yes.
And give them their money and watch every show and go to live events, right? But then if you go, yeah, and I'm really not into it this week, that I don't think you did a good job, they go, Mark, fans that take this thing way too seriously, dude, like, get a life. It's like, wait. You love the guy in the line for an hour and a half with 5 t-shirts on, right? You love that guy. But that guy over here that loves the show enough to tell you that he thinks it can be better, well, that guy's a loser. And that is so many wrestlers. Many wrestlers are just like, if you just go like, hey, man, that was that
match. Road Dogg.
Right, yeah.
Road Dogg is a prime example.
You fell down and that match sucked and I don't know, you know what you were going for. And it's just like, you don't know the business. But then I Love the Shield 29 goes like, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen. And so it's like, you're an expert. Thank you.
Yeah.
Let me retweet you because it was praise. These two individuals know the exact same amount about wrestling, but somebody who said negative things is a mark loser, get a life.
Right.
And somebody said something good is an expert retweet, thank you for being a fan. You need, and it drives me nuts. So Ron Howard's doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, look, you're the reason you could make a movie about Han Solo 30 years after the original is because these 40 years after the original,
yes.
the reason you can make a movie about Han Solo is because these nerds can't get enough.
Yeah, right.
These are the hour and a half full line, Mr. Ford, will you sign my forehead? I forgot my lunchbox in my 40s nerds.
Yes.
Nerds. And that level of nerddom and money, by the way.
Yes.
is what's kept this franchise viable enough for you to sit down and make a movie. And if you sat down and, quite frankly, didn't make an awesome one, and these fans that are really ravenous about your product go, I think you could have done better. No, you don't get to sit there and go, you loser, trolls, because that's the easiest thing, too.
Anybody
with something bad to say is a hater troll. They can't just have an opinion. They're a hater troll.
Right.
And it's just like, that drives me nuts. When wrestlers do it, I hate it. When directors do it, I hate it.
You didn't make a good movie, man.
You're lucky I care this much.
Right.
Right? You're lucky I care this much. Wrestling is the silliest, dumbest thing in the world. And if that fatso didn't wear a 5XL shirt and wait in the rain for 2 hours to meet, you know, flipping Fandango, then you don't have a business and you're not a millionaire.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But so don't... And again, some people are stupid. But not everybody. And it's just a general peeve
that
people just can't take criticism.
Oh, you're 100% right. And do you remember Amy's Baking Company on Kitchen Nightmares?
Oh, it's the best, yeah.
That's what whenever somebody like this who is, and we talk about it a lot in this culture about like privilege, right? And Ron Howard is coming from a place of privilege, right? You are Ron Flippin' Howard, right?
Yep.
You are television and film royalty.
Yeah, you're like Walk of Fame guy.
You're a real deal fucking filmmaker, man.
Yeah, yep.
And for you to come out and say, hey, my movie didn't do well because of trolls, that's not good enough, man.
Yeah, in fact, that is really beneath a guy of that stature.
Yeah, you know, Martin Scorsese makes The Aviator, right? And that movie doesn't do great. And Martin Scorsese doesn't blame the fact that a bunch of people said negative things about it.
Yeah, Scorsese didn't win an Academy Award until The Departed.
2007.
Right, until The Departed, and he'd been a filmmaker for like 30-something years.
Yeah.
He didn't go like, it took me this long to overcome the trolls.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like,
Because that, quite frankly, like, not to bring this into this guy, but like, I hate LeBron James.
Yes.
Because he's the kind of guy where I won and they lost.
Yes, right?
You're
correct.
You're on a team.
Correct.
But tonight I won, or last night they lost, right? We lost tonight because they suck. Right. And we won tonight because I'm so amazing.
Right. And so to bring it back to Amy's Baking Company, for those of you who have no idea what that is, on the show Kitchen Nightmare with Gordon Ramsay, basically this guy comes in, and it's in Arizona, and Gordon Ramsay comes into this restaurant, and everything's clean and everything's nice. All of the major components of why a restaurant is failing are not there. But then you find out that the chef is the like one of the co-owners, and she is incapable of taking criticism. And the food is bad, and they blame everybody else for not knowing how food is supposed to taste. And that's how this feels,
yep.
Where it's like, Ron, I know you know how to make movies, but you made a movie in which the lead actor was wooden, and you should know better. And you also made a movie about a character that I have 3.5, almost 4 movies about that take place after this. So any danger that you put this character or any of the characters in here, I'm not going to care because I know that they're not going to die in the sandstorm, the hurricane.
I know they get out of this.
Because I know that Chewie, Han, and Lando all make it to episode 4, 5, and 6.
Right. What that movie really should have been more about was just
Woody
like,
Harrelson.
Right. And some sort of like untold story of Han Solo.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he should have showed up and that it should have been like the movie should have ended with him like going to Cloud City for the first time to meet Lando. And that's a fun thing at the end.
Well, or even if you wanted to have those characters in it, because I thought Donald Glover did a great job in that movie.
Awesome. He's awesome.
He is awesome. But it's like, so tell me a story in which the Han Solo is a character, but not the main character. I should care more about Woody Harrelson, right? Woody Harrelson was a character in that movie, and it was like he should have been the main character, and Han Solo's just kind of hanging out like around him. And yeah, because I need to care about Woody Harrelson and if he lives or dies. I know Han Solo's going to live, right?
And Chewie
and Lando. I know they're all going to live, so it doesn't matter,
yeah.
Right?
And then Woody didn't.
And then Woody didn't.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? But yeah. I didn't care enough.
Yeah.
And for Ron Howard to not be able to execute the movie at that level, you should know better.
I just, in general, because we've spent enough time on the internet to know that there are some people that are just awful.
Yes.
That there are some people that do live to sweat and stink and complain.
Yeah.
And that is why they wake up in the morning is to eat and complain and stink, right? That meme of the South Park guy,
yeah.
He lives, he breathes, right?
Yes, right.
So it's not fair on the other side to just be like, every fan with an opinion is well-intentioned, right?
Right.
Because there are people who are just, they're noob master 69,
right.
You know what I mean? But at the same time, I don't believe, and we have built a platform on, no, someone with a contrary opinion at times is not a troll.
Right.
They are somebody with an opinion, and right. There is a constructive, organized way to do it. Because you're right, if you're like, I thought the movie was gay. It's like, well, you're the worst. Get away.
Yeah,
you live to eat
right.
and stink.
Well, and so like between Solo and Captain Marvel, Rotten Tomatoes is going to be changing their policy so that they're going to have a validated opinion and a not validated opinion.
Cool.
Right? And so in order to have a validated opinion, you have to present a ticket for the movie.
Oh, awesome.
So your input on this movie, because you've provided a ticket, is more valuable than somebody who's just mad that Captain Marvel's a woman.
Right. Oh my God.
And that's,
we don't have time for that, but that's
right. I don't know how this movie has a 5%
right.
when we haven't even done press screenings yet.
Right. And that was Ron Howard's biggest gripe there, because he said there was a ton of zeros and ones on the Rotten Tomatoes scale before the movie even came out. So the Metascore was so low.
Right.
No pun intended. The Metascore was so low that people didn't even end up going to see it because of that.
Right.
And that's not an invalid.
No.
That's not invalid.
Right. And so.
But it's ultimately not why the movie wound up being, like, secretly beloved.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right. The cream ultimately rises to the top because Captain Marvel was a good movie. People went and saw it.
Yeah. That thing was outrageous. Like, there was, like, that 1 year stretch where people were like, I can't believe Black Panther's a black guy and a main character, and then we're going to make a movie about a woman who is also strong. And it's like,
yeah, what and is maybe your, a lesbian?
Yeah. Like, what is your problem?
Like, it's the same people organizing the straight parade in Boston.
Can I tell you how terrible that is?
Oh, it's the worst.
Like, it's like, yo.
I'm ashamed.
Yeah, like, yeah. The straight people parade. Are you for real? It's like, I can't believe I have to say this in 2019. You've never been persecuted for being heterosexual.
No.
So it's just like, when gay people need to go out there and be like, we're not going to take your bullshit and we're proud of who we are.
Right.
It's like, that's a statement, not like, yeah, and I'm proud that I like girls and I'm just the worst.
Yeah. Well, it's like, so I have several friends that are transsexual, right? And at no point have I been in the same shoes as them where they have to worry about their family disowning them.
Safety
of, like, you know what I've never had to do? I've never had to worry about walking. Like, I used to work downtown Boston till 2 o'clock in the morning when the bars closed, right? And then I would take public transportation to get home. And at no point did I ever feel like I was in danger.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Because I'm a straight white guy.
Yeah.
So you know what? Yeah, I don't get a fucking parade.
Right.
Because every day I get to walk down the street and have my own goddamn parade because I don't have to worry about that terrible fucking nonsense.
Exactly. It's just like, it's the same thing when people are like, why is it okay to say, like, I'm proud to be black, but not okay to say I'm proud to be white?
Because the last time we said we were proud to be white, we tried to murder the Jews.
Right, exactly. And it's just, it's also because, like, well, it was never against the law for a white guy to eat lunch somewhere.
Right.
And it was never
to drink out of a goddamn water fountain.
Right, it was never. I got to, you know, you've got to vote the whole fucking time. And so, like, when black people are like, I am proud of who I am, it's because there were a lot of people that spent a lot of time trying to make them feel ashamed for who they are.
My grandmother, right? And this is a weird thing about my family history. For forever, my grandmother told us that she was Sicilian. We did not find out until she died and did Ancestry.com that she was actually half African American.
Wow.
And so she was light-skinned enough that it was easier for her in life to say she was Italian than half black.
Exactly. And that's terrible. And you never had to deal with that.
No.
You never walked into a room and go, uh-oh, I hope no one finds out I'm white. That's never been a thing. And so it's the same thing. Like, it is. It's the same conceptual point where it's just like, the reason that people of color, black people, minorities of any variety, they are not white people, feel like they need to go out there and be like, hey, I'm proud of who I am, is because for generations there were bad people that tried to make them feel bad about it. Gay people have the same issues.
Well,
there are people out there that try to make gay people feel bad about who they are. No one tries to make you feel bad about being straight. Knock it off.
Well, and there's also the other thing about, there's a kid out there somewhere, right? You have a gay pride parade. You have, you know, some sort of pride parade of some kind, right? And you have it because there's a kid somewhere sitting in a room afraid of who they are, confused.
Yeah.
They have no idea what's going on. They don't know how their family's going to react.
Yeah.
And a pride parade and this entire month says, hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. You're not alone.
Right.
And so for you to say, I need to have a white pride parade.
Right.
Or a heterosexual pride parade, you're missing the point.
Completely. And it's like, you think this is an excuse for a bunch of gay guys to go like, I love dick, am I right? It's like, it's not what it is. It's not what it is. It's people that are making a statement that says, you don't get to make me feel bad about how I was born.
Right.
And no one has tried to make you feel bad, white, straight guy. Come on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe you have to tell people that. You know what I mean? Like, I can't believe you have to tell people.
Well, I still can't believe we have to have an argument about the flat Earth in 2019.
Yeah, thanks, Flip.
Yeah.
We want to take a break and come back?
Tequila. Let's do one more. Let's do one, because we're already on the political nonsense.
There you go.
So we might as well transition into it. AMC has joined Netflix and Disney and Warner Brothers as to they're moving out of Georgia. They're going to pull all of their production out of Georgia if the banned abortion bill passes.
Okay.
So for those of you who might not be familiar with it or might be living in a foreign country, because we do know we have international listeners, there is a bill being passed in Georgia that it will be illegal to have an abortion after a certain week. I forget the amount of time. It's called the heartbeat bill. And so basically
by the time you would know you could, you can't.
Yeah. By the time you know that you're pregnant, you cannot have an abortion in there. And
they will leave the state.
They will also persecute you. And those, and so the media companies, again, AMC has just joined Disney as well as Netflix and Warner Brothers in saying that if this bill passes, they're getting out of there. And so my stance on the whole thing, I guess I'm going to have to just kind of come out and say it because that's kind of the jumping off point here is pro-abortion, anti-abortion, my entire stance is it's not my choice. I don't care what side of the fence you are on, but it's not my choice. It's ultimately the woman's choice, and they should have the say. Definitely not the government.
Okay. So we're getting deep on this one. I like it because I like talking about the important stuff.
Yeah.
Just in general, and we don't have like a political show because no one wants that. So let's do let's do this tonight. So my stance on abortion. What a topic.
So
let me just throw like all my cards on the table here. That I am a Christian. I'm a confirmed Catholic. Right. But what I would call myself is a modern day Christian. Not a Mormon, but a modern day Christian in the sense that I believe that the Bible needs to be taken as a series of lessons, not as a shot-by-shot depiction of certain events, right? I believe you are supposed to gain a certain moral compass from the story of Adam and Eve. You are not necessarily to believe that all human beings are the descendants of two white people who talk to a snake. And I also
when you say it that way.
And I also do believe, quite frankly, that when I have to defend my religion, people go like, "Oh, you think Adam and Eve talked to a snake?" Well, with equal I go, "You don't know how to read a story and take a lesson, dude." You know what I mean?
Humpty Dumpty wasn't an actual egg that fell off a wall.
Yeah, right there. Yeah, the Three Little Pigs is not about a wolf and wearing overalls that blew on houses that pigs made. You know what I mean? Like, you dumbass. And so my idea is that hello, are homosexuals allowed in this chat? Very much so. So the idea is, when it comes to religion in this aspect, is I believe that there is, you're also supposed to, if you are a Christian, supposed to kind of divide that book in half, right? The First Testament, the Old Testament, is the Torah, right? So the Jewish script is the Torah. That is the Old Testament of the Bible. That is the first book. As Christians, we are supposed to adhere to the New Testament, which is the second half of the Bible. That is the life and times of Jesus Christ. And I would like you to find anywhere in the second half of the Bible where Jesus Christ goes, "Love your neighbor, except the black guy or the gay guy or the transsexual guy or the one that lives their life differently." It's just not in there, right? And so there also is no specific passage about abortion because it was 2,000 years ago. Understood.
Right.
Long story short here, my opinion on abortion boils down to this. It should never be plan A, right? It should just be something we need to understand is a medical procedure where there are times and places.
Right.
So I'll give you the easiest example that everybody uses. I'm not reinventing the wheel here when I say, right, that if you were a little girl, a 14-year-old girl, raped by your uncle, you should not have to carry that baby to term.
Yeah.
I do not believe a 14-year-old girl should have to spend 9 months being pregnant, be traumatized even further than she already has been because now she's carrying a child and going through physical changes as well.
Yeah, right.
Then you have this baby that is born not only of incest but of rape. And then you have to decide if you want to give this baby up, which no matter what you feel is still a difficult decision you're putting a 14, maybe a 15-year-old girl through.
Right.
And then so that example alone, just that one unfortunate, the way we live in the world example alone means that the procedure needs to be somewhere on the table, right?
Right.
Then you go down the road to a mother has to make an unbelievable choice.
Right.
It's your second trimester and a doctor goes to you and says, "Listen, this kid is going to have unbelievable complications.
Right.
He might not make it through the pregnancy and that could have unbelievable health remedies. You could both die."
Right.
And so you have to make a decision. The worst one possible here, though, that goes, the baby dies and I die and nobody wins, right? Or I have to make a horrible decision, have the safe medical procedure, and move on. So, again, the point being that the procedure needs to exist, but I don't want it to be like, plan A, I've had five, I'm a party girl abortions.
Yeah,
but the procedure needs to exist.
Well, ultimately, it's okay for that to be a part of your religion, right? It's okay to have religious views that say that this procedure is not correct, right? And I am perfectly okay acknowledging that, but it shouldn't be that my religion says you shouldn't do this so that you shouldn't do it.
Right.
And so it's
the United States of America does not have a religion.
Correct. The United States does not have a religion. So to base this bill on religion, I feel is wrong.
Okay.
Right? Because it's okay to not want to have the procedure because of your religion.
Right.
But again, it's not okay for you to say you can't have it because of my religion.
Right. And there is, and I understand why people that are either religious or even if you're not religious and you just don't like the idea of a baby being terminated.
Yeah, sure.
But I also think that what people have this misconception is like, this lady's ready to pop and then changed her mind.
Yeah, right.
And that's like not what abortion is.
No.
You know what I mean? And so, like I said, there are so many actual viable examples of why this procedure, but I think Bill Clinton said in the 90s, it needs to be safe, legal, and rare. And that's what it needs to be. It needs to be a medical procedure. But here's the thing, because here's how I feel about anything, right? And I promise this is the last topic on this. I also applaud the film industry for doing this. That was the actual topic.
Yeah, that's the actual topic.
Good on them because, this is an arcane law, and if you don't act, nothing changes. But the big point here with abortion is like, look, you... any medical procedure. If you went to a doctor and you said, I need to have one of my kidneys out because I want to have one of my kidneys out, right? That doctor would go like, no, I'm not going to take your kidney out because you want to, right? You need to have a reason to have a medical procedure, right?
Right.
And so if you go to a doctor's office and you say, I'm far too long in my pregnancy, everybody's healthy, can I have this procedure? No, I will not perform this procedure for you. I don't see why that's any different than a doctor saying, you're 8 weeks pregnant, you're at a high-risk pregnancy, something terrible happened, and we have a procedure for that. I just think it's an icky topic, but there's got to be examples where it's valid. But the big point is, I guess, is good on the production companies because Georgia shouldn't be deciding this. And the idea, and also, the good news is that none of these laws would pass. The federal court system would eat these things alive. But, I don't think that you can be so naive as to say this thing should be completely illegal, but I also think that it needs to be done by a doctor the right way.
Right.
And good on you, because the film industry doesn't act, things don't actually change.
Well, and that's the big thing, and just to kind of bring up to why this is so important, Georgia has a huge tax credit, and so that's why a lot of projects have been moving to Georgia. They have been an influx in movies because they're getting a lot of breaks if they come in and spend so much money, right? It's getting very, 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 very expensive to shoot in Los Angeles. A lot of projects move to Vancouver and Toronto and even Arizona. Boston has a very big tax credit. And, you know, just to kind of show how important these type of things are, just because that's the part of the industry that I exist in, so I'm more abreast of that situation, they talked about capping the credit, right? So it was like, we'll give everybody a tax credit, but only up until a certain point. So like if three movies came in and the tax credit was wasted at 2.5, you don't get the tax credit on half of your movie and then every subsequent movie. So we went from like 23 movies 1 year to 3 the next. And so it crippled the industry in this area. And so for Georgia to kind of come in and have this kind of budding film industry, I know a lot of people that moved into Georgia and the panhandle of Florida and Alabama to get closer to be able to working in these movies. So this is a very big statement, and it's interesting to see how that'll play out.
It just
out.
Feels like, if can you imagine if there was an all-woman Congress and then they said all men need to get vasectomies until they know they want to be a father, because vasectomy is reversible.
Right.
So can you imagine if a panel of women said to all men, you have to have a vasectomy. And then when you think you're ready to be a father and responsible and all that stuff, then you can have it reversed and then you can be a dad. And you'd be like, you don't get to tell me what to do with my body. Well, here we are.
Yeah, right.
Here we are. And we know that we've made it big because there are just like two or three really weird people having a fight almost about themselves. Yeah. It's unbelievable how much people are fighting in this chat about
Twitch.
Yeah. Abortion's a hot topic.
Yeah, you're weird. Yeah, but it's just like you're weird people. You know what I mean? Like we can have a discussion. You know what I mean? But you're weird people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's wrap it up. Right. I don't get to tell women what to do with their bodies and neither do you. We're going to take a break.
Yeah.
When we come back, Brock Lesnar still has the Money in the Bank briefcase.
We get to talk about Goldberg in 2019.
We get to talk about Bill Goldberg again, if you can believe that, and a whole lot more. The New Age Insiders will be right back with a lot less controversy.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie Jamikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
Hey everybody, this is Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner Jamie Jamikowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email, newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to newageinsiders@gmail.com. That's newageinsiders@gmail.com.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Molotov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
So we finally have an answer to a question that we've been asking since the end of the season. And that would be Craig Kimbrell. Finally has a home? Is that true?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know why anybody would make that up.
Yeah, I know. I hate Craig Kimbrell.
I don't hate him, but I mean, I don't miss him.
I don't miss him at all. I just hate his dumb elbow thing that he does. I find it to be obnoxious.
Oh, yeah, you should. That's a reasonable response.
Basically, when you're a closer in Boston, like it also all started with Mariano Rivera, which was definitely the grandiose entrance for a closer, mm-hmm. playing Metallica, mm-hmm. you know, all that fun stuff. And then ultimately Jonathan Papelbon came in to ship it up to Boston. And
Trevor Hoffman at Hell's Bells.
Right. You know, so it was kind of cool. It became a thing. And it all started with Wild Thing from Major League, which is really funny. But you look at Craig Kimbrell, and it's like there's so much stuff that would happen that it's like, yeah, Craig Kimbrell's coming into the game. And they're playing a song, and they got a Titantron for him. And then he comes in, and he basically just gets the game within one and then wins.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
And it's just like, you're terrible.
I don't miss him. They won the World Series in spite of him. I don't miss him.
Yeah.
So somebody that I do love and I just keep getting proven right over and over and over again, because Brock Lesnar is a star.
Oh, God.
And Brock Lesnar is what you're talking about, and nobody cares about 80% of what WWE is doing right now, but you care about Brock Lesnar and the GIFs and the boombox, and it's funny, and I love it, and the show is better when Brock is around and part of it, and there. I said it. I got it out of my system. You're welcome. I'm right. Anyway, Brock...
Well, it's also because Vince can't tell Brock what to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he can bitch and tell everybody. He can chew out John Moxley and be like, no, you're going to say pooper scooper. And Brock Lesnar would look at him and go, no.
No, I just won't go out there. I don't care.
Yeah, no.
You just fire me. I don't care.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean? I don't even know if you can fire me.
Yeah, no. Not going to do it.
I'm just going to go out there.
But that's basically it, man.
Yeah, pay Paul. Like, Paul, don't say that.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, pay Paul. We're going.
Don't say that. That's stupid.
But yeah, man, that's why Brock Lesnar's entertaining. Because Brock Lesnar gets to do whatever he wants. The problem has never been the performer when the performer shows up. The problem was always the performer never showed up.
No way. I never heard that.
I know.
I haven't had to hear that for 3 years.
Yeah, well. Or anything. And look at, well, the show hasn't been good. But Brock Lesnar's been fun.
Brock Lesnar's great. So what do you think of the idea that Brock Lesnar said on Monday that he is planning on doing something about that briefcase Friday at WWE Super Showdown,
which is on a WrestleMania level.
Yes, it is.
I can't believe that. Which one is your in 2018? Which one was your favorite Super Bowl?
Oh,
which World Series are you looking forward to most this year?
Yeah, but yes, I know.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
The third one.
Yeah, what was which one of your weddings did you and your wife enjoy the most? What could possibly go wrong when you say we have two penultimates? You know what I mean? Let's ask the presidents.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Isn't that the Senate?
Fucking
supposed to be what the Senate is, right, but we don't.
Just like, what a bunch of assholes.
I know.
Everybody in wrestling, the only thing that everybody in wrestling can actually agree on, if this, is that WrestleMania is the biggest event, right?
You know, not even WWE. Right. WWE can't even agree on
that. Yeah, right. Now they can't, right? Because I'm sorry. I love you. You're a nerd if you think that Wrestle Kingdom is bigger than WrestleMania. It's not. It has a third of the legacy, and it's just not. Sorry, it's not. It's not. It's not. And so WrestleMania is the biggest thing in the sport, right? Yes. In the field. And now you're like, yep, and this one's fuck WrestleMania. We're going, you know, Triple H is going to fight Randy Orton for no goddamn
reason.
We're
going to go to global.
Yeah, we're going to go. We got Goldberg versus The Undertaker 20 years too late. You psyched?
Yeah.
And it's like, what? The fact that you literally used the phrase, because you hint at everything, you hint at Raw being as big as WrestleMania.
I know.
But to actually use the phrase, like, oh, yeah, this is WrestleMania big.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
like,
I know.
Holy shit. How much money are they giving you? You know what I mean? Is everything for
sale?
They're giving
you enough money for that to happen because, as soon as Brock won this briefcase, you know, I thought he was going to challenge Seth Rollins for the title at the thing. As this whole situation has played out, he's just going to do the Seth Rollins cash in.
I don't think he's going to do anything.
He's on the poster.
Yeah. Oh, I think he'll be there. And I don't think he's going to do anything.
Oh, he's going. They're going to replicate the Seth Rollins cash in. And Brock Lesnar will beat Baron Corbin for the Universal Championship.
I don't even believe myself as I get ready to say this, but I'm going yes. to anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think Brock's going to successfully cash in.
Oh, he's going to cash. They're like, when they started putting the pieces together, yeah, that's the most logical thing that makes sense to me. The Prince goes, I liked Seth Rollins cashing in at WrestleMania. I want a moment like that. And they're like, oh, well, I guess we'll have Brock do it to Seth.
And beat Corbin.
So Seth doesn't lose his championship, and we now are on the other foot.
And you sound righter, but I'm just going to – I just have this weird feeling that somehow, some way – and I know people are going to throw stats at me, and they're right. They're like, the last two males have unsuccessfully cashed in, I guess. Right? Is that true?
Yeah.
Because
it's Corbin, yeah.
Corbin, and who was last year's?
No, because who was last year?
Who won last year?
Oh, God. It was Corbin last year, wasn't it?
No,
it was two years ago.
This is really good. This is live radio.
But he cashed in like that night.
Wasn't it something like that? I don't remember. But somebody had thrown a stat at me, I think, that said that the last two males cashed in unsuccessfully. Yeah. And so if that's true, then three in a row unsuccessfully and Brock Lesnar? Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman.
Yes. So he did. And he didn't. Yeah. He failed too.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And then three straight males would fail. Male fail. With the briefcase. And not only that, but it's Brock Lesnar, who's five guys. So it really would be seven straight Money in the Bank winners lost.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, that's interesting, huh? But I sound wrong, but I don't think Brock's gonna win. I don't think Brock's gonna be a champion for them again. And that sounds wrong too, doesn't it?
That doesn't sound right.
But didn't it feel like it was done in when Reigns beat him? But I guess it's not. I guess it's never over.
Yeah.
So
wrestling, baby.
So I guess you have three people. Right?
Yep.
Who will be the WWE champion, Brock Lesnar or Kofi Kingston, Saturday morning?
Kofi Kingston.
Who will be the Universal Champion Saturday morning, Brock Lesnar or Seth Rollins?
Brock Lesnar.
I just don't know about that. And I know I'm on an island here. I do.
Yeah.
But like, there's something about this that just kind of makes me think like we already would have had him be the champ. I don't know. And I could be
wrong.
Well,
no, because...
Maybe this prince wants to watch him win. You're right. He wants to do that. Maybe.
Yeah. If there is enough clout that we actually seriously entertained a world in which The Rock was going to be the champion at one point, like we're hearing reports that...
He still wants that.
He's still... Right. And we're living in a world where he... That's what he wants.
And Raw's for sale.
Yeah, right. That it's just like, yeah, there's a chance that he's like, yeah, I want to recreate 31.
Because that's the thing that pisses me off about this. I mean, the thing that bothers me most about Super Showdown is the fact that they're going to Saudi Arabia and taking tainted money and not using the women and excluding Sami Zayn and all these religious and ethnic and gender-based bullshit. And I think it's anti-American.
Yeah.
We've talked about it. But... You know, one of the things about this too that really drives you nuts as a wrestling fan, even if you don't give a shit about politics, is why is Randy Orton suddenly mad at Triple H? If you just watch the TV,
right?
If you don't go on the internet and if you just watch the TV,
right?
And this brings it we'll just bring it right here. Why are The Undertaker and Goldberg mad at each other in 2019?
Retribution for the 2017 Rumble.
That does it. No! You know what I mean?
I know.
And it's so ass backwards because they announced the match 3 weeks ago and then The Undertaker shows up this week to be like, let me tell you why I want Goldberg. It's like, no, you're on the poster. Well, it's just a match.
To be fair, there's people that thought that the Roman Reigns-Brock Lesnar match at 34 was retribution for 31.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, who cares?
3 years later.
You know what else Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar are? In their 30s. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't care about, like, that part of it. I'm talking about the idea that, like, look, this is one of wrestling's great, until Friday, unmatched matches.
Yeah, and we're going to ruin it.
And it's going and I mean this with so much of my spirit and soul. You mean the world to me. Bill Scott Goldberg, and your middle name is Scott. You can look that up. William Scott Goldberg, you mean so much to me.
Yeah.
This match is going to suck so hard, and you ended things so well, and this country is so against your Jewish heritage. What are we doing?
Yeah, right.
What are we doing?
Like, Sami Zayn doesn't get to be here.
What are we doing? You're Jewish. You're the Jewish guy.
You are the Hebrew hammer.
You are Mount Jew. You know what I mean? And what are you doing there?
Right.
And like on top of that, like I remember talking to you in Goldberg. I remember talking to you in private, talking to you on this show, and you were telling me like, dude, I am always tired. I'm eating 14,000 calories a day. I'm working out all the goddamn time. I'm always tired. And if I didn't love people like you so much, I would have quit months ago. I hate this.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, he's like, I love this, but I hate this. Right. And it's like,
right.
You trained like a monster for what really turned out to be about a 6 month run.
Yeah. Right.
What are you going to do? I mean, you look great, but I mean, are you ready to go out there and do anything? Cause I'm not sure the other guy is.
Yeah. Right.
And then it's like,
can you pick each other up?
And I'm not kidding. This is the first time it's not a meme or sarcasm. What will be longer? The entrances or the match?
Oh, definitely the entrances.
Because I got to think this thing boils down to Goldberg hits a spear and goes like, whoa, hits a jackhammer, Taker kicks out.
Taker sits up.
Right, sits up and Goldberg goes like, oh, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. Goes for the spear, gets caught in probably a choke slam.
Right.
Because I don't think The Undertaker can catch a spear and flip that guy into a tombstone. I just don't give him that much credit at this stage of the game.
Yeah.
And the thing's over in 3-5 minutes and Taker just wins.
Right.
Because it's going to be about WCW somehow.
Yes,
so The Undertaker will win.
Yes, of course.
Isn't that what you want it to be, though? Any more than that is just like,
no, no. Because you know why? Because I'm all for suspension of disbelief. I went to film school. I gotcha, right? But in a fight in 2019, Bill Goldberg would hit that guy's head off into the crowd like Mark McGuire in the summer of 98. And so, no, I do not want to watch that old lady beat Bill Goldberg, who 2 years ago was doing shoulder shrugs with a golf cart, and then later on that night, you went out there and couldn't perform at all.
Yeah, right.
Same show.
Right.
Same show. And I'm going to have to watch that.
That monster. I mean?
Right, exactly. Right? Like, an old 1800s widow that came out of a lake is going to beat Bill Goldberg in a fight. I'm going to have a tough time with that suspension of disbelief. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's what The Undertaker looks like. The Undertaker looks like a legend at a haunted, like, resort. Where he's like, sometimes if you go by the beach, you see, like, you know, like, Widow Beth. You know what I mean? And it's just like, okay.
You know what I mean? Widow Beth.
You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah. And like, yeah, and I don't want to why. Like, so that'll be the tough part for me. And the other thing, too, is like, look. And I mean this. We've talked about this. Like, some of wrestling's great undone matches, right? Like, we never saw Austin versus Hogan. We never saw Austin versus Goldberg, Cena versus Hogan. And this is one of them.
Sting versus Taker.
Right. And this is one of them. Because in wrestling history, the two greatest streaks belong to these guys.
Yeah.
173-0 to start your career. 21-0 on the biggest stage there possibly is, right?
Yeah.
And then this is the point of this. You know what I mean?
Right.
And what this should have been was The Undertaker beating Goldberg for the first time, but that would have had to happen 21 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
This should have been a part of the Invasion story, but Goldberg wasn't in it. This should have been part of Goldberg's 2003 run, but his heart wasn't in it, and Undertaker wasn't on the shelf a lot of that time.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, as cool as that SmackDown moment was, and it was, when they stared each other down and everything, it is sort of like...
I think the chat definitely sums it up perfectly. Goldberg versus Taker, it feels like a current day Vince Neil performance.
Yep. Yeah, those aren't words. You still got me. And that is what that's going to be, where it's just like, yeah, this would have been the thing to watch 20 years ago, but now it's going to be like, do you want to watch, like,
milk?
Milk. Like, but it's kind of like, do you want to watch Michael Jordan go one-on-one with Magic Johnson? It's like, yes, but not now.
Yeah.
Not Friday. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like in 1994, holy shit.
Yeah, right.
If you had some sort of special, we had MJ and Magic one-on-one. Yeah. You know what I mean? But no, not now.
I'm a genius. I'm brilliant, right? You like this asshole then, and you like that guy now, kind of, right? 2 years ago, this was popular. What's your problem? Right? This is the good show. I'm a puppet now. On the show I don't write. That's why it's good.
Shout out to the Firefly Funhouse. But yeah, but that... We're really glad that you're our friend. And this is a friendship that'll never, ever end. Yep, and Vince McMahon had nothing to do with it, and that's why it's good.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Just like the frippin' New Day.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, we interviewed Kofi on this show, and he's like, oh yeah, it's good because it's ours. Because we thought of it.
Yeah.
Because we're doing it. Because every idea they had was terrible. And so we went, no, we brought pancakes. And they're like, all right, I don't know why, but you're making a lot of money, so. You want to be the champion guy? We're going to call it a historic moment, but not tell you why. Because if I tell you why, you're going to be like, holy shit. We've been a company a long-ass time not to have a black champion, huh? Let's not throw a spotlight on that. Half of the Rock. You know what I mean? It's good. Pooper scooper. Anyway, so I, like... Yeah. I will kick back. This is the only part of the Saudi show I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch it live because I'll be at work. Because I do have a job.
Yeah, Friday at 1 o'clock.
Right.
I'm actually off.
I will watch this. I will watch this match. It has... I have no expectations.
Yeah.
I hope they both walk out healthy. This is... I mean this... It sounds terrible. Because I don't mean this to sound like a dickhead. I hope they both walk out healthy and they don't embarrass themselves.
Yeah.
Because...
One of those things is going to happen.
Right. And it's such a tease because they even did the mashup with their themes. You know what I mean? Where they had Goldberg's theme
start
and then
really
they
cool.
come in and check. It's like, yeah, this would have been incredible. But all these shots are from 2003.
I know.
You know what I mean? This whole package is...
Well, that's everything with The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Everything with The Undertaker is from 2004 and before.
Right. And the shame of it is that incredibly, Bill Goldberg went out there on Tuesday and cut like an unbelievable promo.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to that guy.
Right, where he's just like, oh, I learned how to wrestle in my off time. And
I learned
10
how
years
to wrestle and talk.
Yeah, remember those like 12 years I took off? Like I watched a lot of Nitro. I should have been better.
You know how I took all that time off? I went up into the mountains and I trained with Lanny Poffo.
Yeah, exactly. I rented a shed on the top of Mount Ninu Jum Jum with right. Terry Funk. You know what I mean? And now I know how to wrestle. Anyway, really quick as we get ready to go talk all things Sasha Banks, our opinion on Sasha Banks, where she is with the company, will she be back? Just everything Sasha Banks on patreon.com/newageinsiders. If you subscribe to twitch.tv/newageinsiders right now, like Rod did, we will send you the stream and you can join too. All just go to patreon.com or just go to patreon.com/newageinsiders. Your support goes
it's easier that way.
Exactly. It's $5. Like, holy crap. We give you $1.20. What is it? $1.25 worth of content a week. We give you that. patreon.com/newageinsiders. Really quick. The guy that, was making all those Jeopardy headlines, wound up losing. He did not break the money record. He did not break the winning the games record.
Yeah.
Thoughts now that he had an impressive run, but actually didn't wind up breaking any records. He won $2 million. But, yeah. You know, he didn't actually win in the record thing. It seems like he was on
that
pace
was
to
weird.
Destroy it.
It was weird, but good for him. You know, it was fun. Something memorable to keep Jeopardy in the headlines while sadness looms around. So, you know, I feel like it's something that we needed.
It's a good Jeopardy story.
It's a good
Jeopardy story. The last one was a bad Jeopardy story.
Yeah, right. Well, that's kind of it. We had such a dark cloud kind of looming over Jeopardy the last time that we heard it. Because Jeopardy, for the most part, has always been on, right? And so the last thing we had heard from Jeopardy was that Alex Trebek had basically a death sentence, an incurable cancer.
Right.
So then for this guy to kind of just come out of the blue and just kind of start winning everything makes it a real feel-good kind of story around Jeopardy, which it kind of needed.
And shout out to Nanda, who subscribed for the fourth time to Twitch Prime.
Love you.
Twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV.
It's pretty crazy that James Holzhauer, the guy we're talking about, ended up about $58,000 short of Ken Jennings,
yeah.
which is pretty much one game for him.
And half the games.
It's amazing.
And Ken Jennings is still best.
Yeah, Holzhauer won 32 games and Jennings won 74, so less than half.
Who's going to win the Stanley Cup? There's a right answer.
The Boston Bruins.
Boston Bruins.
In seven.
Seven.
They are going to go to seven games. And the Blues have been a more...
I just hope they win game five.
Oh, yes. I do not want to go back to St. Louis down.
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, new. Because St. Louis has been a much more resilient team. Now, what I will say is when the Bruins win, I don't think they're playing their absolute best and are winning by a lot. When the Blues win, they're playing their best game.
And they win by one.
And win by one. So that still shows, that still, if you're a fan of Boston, which I know like Danny and Colin are rooting hard for the city of Boston.
Yeah.
Justin's rooting hard for the city of Boston.
Yeah.
And so Dylan always roots hard for the city of Boston. And so like those are, like, you know, I still think that they're going to take it in seven, but I do think that it's a better series than I thought it was going to be through three games.
Yes.
That fourth game, you know, it's a series. We're going to go over to patreon.com/newageinsiders and talk all about Sasha Banks. Will she return to this company? When? What's her future in wrestling? What do we think about her absence? Just all sorts of things, everything and anything that comes to mind about a multiple-time former WWE Women's Champion. Patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders, where you can find it. Thank you for joining us live on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. We are all over the place. Going over to Patreon, join Jason Malta,
Liam Stringer,
and Bill Neville.
We're the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter all the time, everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. The website, with a huge shout out to DC and Doc, to Rich, Scotty, and Jamie to everything that we've got going on. Subscribe on iTunes, Podomatic, Lork, Norble, and Stitcher. We'll see you on patreon.com/newageinsiders. Anything you want to get out there?
No.
Looking good.
We're the premier place for fans of all kinds to connect, discuss, and to be heard. See you on Patreon.
We out.